Now I think we're all ready. So good to see everyone here. That might be a little loud. And not getting any feedback. All right, well, we'll have to go with it for now. So as we're looking at this lesson, the lesson that we have today from the book of Galatians, it's called, What is Your Dash? So you're probably wondering what that's about. Yeah. All right, so if we look at the lesson, when one is born, you will see that there's a date. But then when your life ends, there's another date. But in between is a dash. And so that's why the lesson today is, what is that dash? The dash stands for the life that you live here on this earth. What is our dash? The lesson that I'm giving today is for all ages. But especially if you're younger, I want to reach out to you with this lesson because your life is just beginning. And what you're doing now is your dash. What type of life are you living? Where do you want to be when this life ends? Those are very important questions that we all need to ask, but particularly when you're young, it's good to get that right. When we look at salvation, we got to be walking in the Spirit, but don't get confused. Salvation isn't based on good works, because none of us could be good enough. In fact, some people may do great things but are missing the major thing. Jesus will, they'll come and they'll say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do many good works in your name? And I'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who practice iniquity. The key is that it says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord. So not everyone that believes. The demons believe and tremble. Not everyone that believes, but he that doeth the will. You're not saved by good works, as I mentioned, because you can't be good enough. We'll all fall short. But we walk to Jesus, and Jesus picks us up the rest of the way. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of his son will forgive you from all sin. He is the salvation. Acts 4, verse 12, there's no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved than the Lord Jesus. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You want to get to heaven? Well, no one can get there but through me. 2 Corinthians 3:11 says, there is no other foundation that can be laid than that which is Christ Jesus. So it isn't based on good works, but good works are in this lesson as a part of walking in step with the Spirit. It's a part of what we do because he has set us free. His grace has set us free. So sin, we want to learn, is deadly. Because sometimes you think, oh, that was just a little sin. But you know, when an avalanche is ready to go, it doesn't take too much more to get it going. Something small can be the straw that breaks the back. The cartoons like to show that. They sometimes exaggerate a little bit. They'll throw a feather on something and all of a sudden it breaks. But it gets the point across. Small things can sometimes do great destruction. We must also understand, as mentioned, no matter how many works we could do, we can't even atone for one sin, but Jesus' blood, that does it. So in Galatians 6, we learned that the spiritual must reach out to those that are lost. You who are spiritual, when you see someone erring, restore such a one. Yet you have to look at your own attitude. It's got to be done in gentleness. We also learned that each must bear our own load. So although I'm concerned about Al's salvation and Dave's salvation, I'm concerned about all your salvations. I will reach out to you if I see you headed in the wrong path, but I can't make you drink the water. I can lead you there as a camel, but you have got to decide you're going to drink. In other words, I can reach out to you, but you, in the end, are responsible for your salvation. I can help show you the way. So knowing that, we are now looking at some great truths from the book of Galatians. Be not deceived is the first one. I've had many stories that would illustrate this, but I decided to use a new one so I don't use the same stories over and over for who knows how long. So I came up with a new one that I'm going to use. One of my uncles, I remember, once told us, no one gets any pop unless you go through me. And I looked in there and seen all those bottles. Surely he hadn't counted all those bottles. He had. And when I took one, it was well known because he knew who hadn't taken one because he knew where they were. So he knew who did it. sometimes we think that someone can be fooled. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Mocked means to be fooled. Some of your easier translations may even translate it something like that. I thought my uncle could be easily fooled, that he wouldn't know how much bottles of pop were in there, but he knew. He did, and he was too smart for me. Some people think that God can be made a fool, but I'm going to assure you that God is smarter than any of us. Adam and Eve thought they could hide from God. How well did that go? Well, many people today think they can hide from God. The foul language just pours out. I used to see that as a chaplain. The language would be pouring, and I came into a room, and all of a sudden, there was a hush, a silent. Not always. Some people looked at me and said, Chaplain, I'm going to behave like I do when you're here or when you're gone. Now, I didn't agree with them using bad language, but I almost would rather that they were straightforward with it than sneaking around the bush. At least I knew where they were. So God cannot be made a fool of. Be not deceived. You need to consider what is our dash. What are we doing? How are we living? Especially if you're early in your life, you want to get in the right track. There are two basic truths from Galatians 6. One, we've got to learn this. God cannot be fooled. We sometimes think he doesn't see. You know, a lot of people cheat on their spouse. And they think that no one knows. God knows. Most likely soon, as those lies pile up, soon everyone's going to know. It may take time, but you see, when you tell a lie, you have to tell another one. When David committed lust by looking at a woman, well, then he had a child by her. Well, now he's got to cover that up. So lies upon lies, it all hit him in the face. When Nathan the prophet said, you are the man. So it all hit him in the face. His sin caught up with him. God cannot be fooled. And the second one is you will reap what you sow. So there's a basic truth here that if you plant something, you're not going to get something else. If you plant corn, you're not going to get tomatoes. Now, Joe is a farmer. Sorry to use you, Joel. But you're good for my lesson. Joe is a farmer, and if he goes out there and plants corn and he finds out tomatoes are out there, he is going to know that someone really had it in for him. someone came out there and took up his seed and put down theirs because you can't get tomatoes out of corn seed. That is the truth that it's trying to help us to understand, is that if you are purposely sowing corruption, you're not going to get the things of the Spirit. If you want eternity and life indeed with God, then you need to be sowing the things of the Spirit. The basic truth, you will get what you plant, what you sow. So now, let's look at our sowing options, our reaping options, rather. We are all sowing something. This day, as well as every day of your life, you are sowing something. What are you sowing? Our actions and thoughts are that which we are sowing. Your thoughts are very important. Now, sometimes our thoughts are so random and you have bad thoughts, and maybe all that's necessary is to recognize them, confess them, get back on the right track, but don't ignore those thoughts. Because Jesus said, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. If you think something long enough, if you harbor hatred long enough, pretty soon that comes out into actions. From the heart, Jesus says, comes corruption. So it is important what we're thinking. If we are on the wrong track, we need to strive before to get on the right track before it gets into actions. What will we reap? There are two options. In this matter, the only two crops you can get is that of the flesh and that of the Spirit. God doesn't offer anything in between. It's either flesh or spirit. You can either run after your own selfish desires and the devil, or we can run to God. When we sow to the flesh, gets what you get. Corruption. The things of the flesh, sometimes these things, why do people do them? Well, they temporarily can be joyful. There can be pleasure in them. Some things, there may not be anything wrong with done in the right environment, the way God intended it to. But you see, a person of the flesh is not thinking about God. By the flesh, we mean that their whole life is their desires. They are ruled by their desires. That's what we mean by living in the flesh. We don't mean living in the skin, not that type of flesh, because we all have to live in that. You wouldn't be here if you weren't living in that. But what we're talking about is when those passions that we have take over and God is not in control. It looks good at first, but you're a prisoner of that sin. I've sometimes referred that to Andy Griffith's jail because it looked nice. You had nice wallpaper. Aunt B could bring you dinner. Looks like it's pretty good, but if you're locked up in there, you're still a prisoner. There is still a sentence to be paid. There is still a judgment that may await you, so you're not free. And that's what we got to understand. The flesh can look good, but it brings death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. When you live in sin, you are earning death. Eternal separation from God is what that's talking about. So every choice we make is a choice of life or death. We are choosing either to sow to the flesh or to get life indeed. Again, the one that sows to the flesh gets eternal destruction, but what about the Spirit? It says here the one that sows to the Spirit gets life. Now, it's not talking about just any life. It's talking, you know, because the lost still live on in a torment, but that's not life. when Scripture talks about life, that's not life. You're going to get the life indeed, the life with God the Father, that wants to bless you with every blessing there is. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 talks about all spiritual blessings. And where is it? It's in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ. So you've got to be in Christ to get those things. What do you do to sow to the Spirit? You deny yourself and get in step with the Spirit. In one of our lessons, I used it as a military thing because I know from the military what it means to be in step. And in basic training, if you're not in step, drill sergeant gets on you pretty quick. You've got to get in line. And we need to be in line with the Spirit, to be in step. Our every action and thought, we got to remember our seeds sown. What are you sowing? Specifically, what is your dash? Let us not fall to the false conclusion again that God can be mocked because he cannot be. So we're talking about reaping. And reaping could be a sad thing for some. But you know, if you're on the right track, reaping is a wonderful news. It's great to hear this, that if you're sowing to the Spirit, then you're going to reap the things of the Spirit. One thing you will reap, what is one result of walking in step with the Spirit? Is the fruit of the Spirit. It's an outcome. So those things that you find there, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and so forth, those are all things that you can get. So reaping can be wonderful news if you're walking with the Spirit. Galatians 6, 9, and 10 has a, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So if we look at this, it tells us not to grow weary in doing good. Well, why would you grow weary in doing good? Why you do good to someone and then they stab you in the back? And you do that a few times, and you get weary. And sometimes people will do things back for you. One of the ways that Sandra and I grew when giving was when we were young in the ministry, before we hardly even got out of school, didn't have much money, but we had $20. I told Sandra to put it in the collection. She said she didn't want to because we didn't have much to live on. So we put it in the collection, and some of the elders heard about it, and one of them came over and handed a $20 bill to my wife. So don't expect that things will always come like that. But the Bible does say give, and it will be given to you. Again, you shouldn't expect that that necessarily is going to be a material thing. It may not be that way. But if you give to God, if you put yourself in his hands, then he will give back to you. So do not grow weary. Don't stop doing good. You work hard to try to help the church grow. You go out there and teach to the lost. You bring someone to Jesus, and they fall away. You're discouraged. You don't want to continue. You say, Lord, why am I going to go out there and possibly make enemies for myself because they don't like the message I'm giving? And all they do is fall away. The Bible says don't give up. The reason being is that at the proper time, you will reap eternal rewards with God. Everyone knows that I'm here. Most of you know, maybe not everyone, but most know that I've spent most of my life as a runner. 58 years. Started when I'm 10 years old, still running. Not like I used to. But I ran many races. And you know, you feel like giving up and you're ready to throw the towel in, and suddenly you realize there's the end of the line. If we keep on, don't give up, because if we keep on, the light will be there. God will bless you, even if it seems like you're spinning your wheels, which those in a vehicle in snow or mud know that means you're not getting anywhere. Even if it seems that way, Jesus says, keep on. The devil says, give up, but we must continue. Because doing good is an answer of God to something. Have you ever felt depressed? Have you ever lost heart? I'm not saying this is the only solution. There can be many reasons for that. But this is one solution. It's saying, do good, so that you won't lose heart. If we do not grow weary in doing good, in due season we shall reap if you do not lose heart. So one way to get around that losing heart is to just keep on. The reward will be, now if you lose heart and give up, you could miss the benefit. But if you keep on, God is there. He never lets us down. And then it says, God tells us to take of every advantage, every opportunity to do good. And to do good, he says, do good to everyone. And people say, well, what about my enemies? What did Jesus say about your enemies? When the guy wanting to justify myself, because he didn't like what Jesus said, so he was hoping to justify himself, and he said, who is my neighbor? What did Jesus do? He told him the story of the Good Samaritan. You know, many of you know that story. I don't want to spend my time on it, but just the blunt of the lesson, the purpose, was to show your neighbor is someone in need. The priest, the Levite, passed by on the other side. They were too busy, held up in their own religious world, to take time for someone that was hurting. But the Samaritan, he saw the person and he stopped. So we're to do good to all, but especially those of the household of faith. So as Christians, we do good to everyone. If they're a brother or sister in Christ, then we're more motivated. We especially want to make sure that we take care of them. Again, it's not you don't take care of others. But if someone has come to Jesus and they're a child of God, we want to do everything we can to try to reach out to them. So this is sowing to the Spirit and how we store treasure in heaven. Remember, Jesus tells us to store up treasure in heaven. Now, this does not mean we cannot sit back waiting for people to do good to us. Some people read this scripture and they read it the opposite way. They say, oh, Christians are supposed to do good to others. Well, I want them to do good to me. No, that's not the command. The command is to each one of us from within for you to do good. We should never expect, assume, or demand that someone do something for us just because they're a Christian. That is not how the commandment gave it. You should not be pressured from others to be doing good anyway. It should come from within, because Jesus has done good to you from within. There is a command to do good, not from the outside, not from people around. So the conclusion of this lesson, the disciples of Jesus plant seeds of goodness, and this is part of sowing to the Spirit. We do good to all, especially the household of faith, and we'll reap the benefits of eternal life. We reap what we sow. So again, what are your choices? You have the flesh or the spirit. God is not marked. We will reap what we sow. And the question is, what are you sowing? I have a little poem here. I wanted to just read this. I'm well ahead of schedule. So, because if I go over, they may have a trap door ready for me. Just joking. I'm going to read this. This is about this dash that I mentioned. So this is how the poem goes. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on their tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of birth and spoke of the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time they spend alive on earth. And now only those who love them know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can be rearranged. To be less quick to anger and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read, when your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say? How have you lived your dash? So the question goes out to every one of you. If you're not a child of God, you need to get that dash right first by becoming a child of God. Believe the message. Repent of sins. We'll baptize you into Him. So if you're not a Christian, you can become one. If you are, but have just strayed into sin, you need to repent. All of us, though, need to consider, what is our dash? Are we living what we want? If you need to come, you can come as we stand and as we sing. 594.
Let's sing one.